The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening in the studio, email her in studio101@gmail.com. And now, broadcasting live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Joanne Shaw.
Good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us once again on Monday evening. My goal, as you know, is always for every show, every week, to provide down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And I'm so looking forward to tonight's show because it's going to be all about down-to-earth practical advice for roses. And I'm really looking forward to talking with our guest, Colleen Viskoff, about roses. I myself don't often put them in landscape designs unless my clients are specifically ask for them because everyone is looking for low-maintenance gardens. But I think, and I still, in the back of my head, still think of roses as high maintenance. So I'm really looking forward to Colleen's take on that. As an artist, designer, and award-winning gardener, Colleen is a Peterborough Master Gardener. She was a vice chair of Communities in Bloom, present coordinator of the Bernardo Gardens, and the Ontario coordinator of Plant Watch, a nature watch initiative. But her first love is roses. So welcome to the show, Colleen.
Thanks, Joanne. It's great to be here and talk about roses.
That's wonderful. I am really looking forward to it, too. It's such a huge topic. I don't know where to start, but I thought I would start, if you could give us like a quick overview, because there's so many different varieties of roses. Can you give us a quick overview of your three favorite types? Can you narrow it down to three?
Yeah, actually, I can. I think the thing about roses when I'm looking for a rose is I really like the ones that are easy care. And I was interested when you said you wanted, low maintenance roses. And I love the new easy care roses, and that's what they're grown for. People like us. Who don't want a lot of fussy roses. Mm-hmm. So I look for those kinds of roses that are grown in Canada that say easy care. Some of them will have the word easy right on the tag.
Okay.
Those are my favorites because I don't have to do much with those.
Okay. And are they a variety? Like, are they all shrub roses or is it a mix? Is it, as far as the...
I think the key to remember is that there are shrub roses. There are landscape roses, which are low and they kind of carpet the ground.
Okay.
There are climbers and there are ramblers.
Okay.
And they all do different things and they all take up different space.
Right.
And that's the big key.
Okay. And can all of those be classified as easy care?
No.
No. Okay. Good. Okay.
No. You remember the old-fashioned, roses you get in a flower shop? Those
yes.
are tea roses, and they grow on tall, straight stems with one flower at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fussiest to grow.
Yeah.
Not impossible, but they're fussy. And then you have all of the hybrids because people were asking for them, so they started breeding all these easy care roses. And if it's grown in Canada, you can bet it's easy because most of them are grown outside in a field in places like Winnipeg.
Ooh.
So if it's going to survive in Winnipeg, it's going to survive in your garden.
Right. Well, that is good to know. Yeah, it's not like they're greenhouse grown and they're protected and, you know.
No.
Yeah.
So those are the roses for people who want to show. And, I mean, I have to say I do have some of those in my garden because every gardener wants a challenge. No matter what we think about low maintenance, we're always trying to push it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're always trying to push the zone or push the type of flower just because we fall in love with it and we forget about all the rest of the stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the easy care roses right now, really, that's what they are. They are, there is a series called the Explorer Roses.
Okay.
And they're named after explorers. They're all hardy to zone 3 or 4. And even if you're in a zone 5 or 6, Peterborough area is zone 5.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably 6?
No, we're 5B.
Are you 5?
Yeah.
Okay. I always say to plant for zone 4 and 3, if you can get it. And there are lots of roses that will do really well in zone 3s and 4s.
Okay.
And you really can't go wrong with them.
Okay.
Yeah. But also remember that every plant has a lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the old roses that they talk about being 100 years old, not going to happen in today's roses,
mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Yeah.
But the Explorer roses or the Artist series, anything that's grown in Canada, can be pretty sure of. So
okay.
Whether it's a bush or it's a carpet rose, look at the space you have and see how much room it's going to take up. And
okay.
Those are kind of the decisions that you have to make when you're looking for one.
Right. Now, how big, let's just talk about shrub roses for a minute. Do they vary in size? Are they usually a little bit more on the, you know, shrub 3 feet to 3 feet. I guess I picture shrubs about that, 3 feet to 4 feet.
Usually on the tag it will tell you, but that's about right.
Okay.
It is usually a bush rose is a nice, tidy, it stays in that form.
Mm-hmm.
It stays looking like a bush. The roses come up, they bloom pretty close to the top. When you get into things like ramblers, that's exactly what they do. They take a lot of space. They need a lot of room, and they ramble. They're beautiful, but they do take up a lot of space.
But yet they're different from climbers.
Yes.
Okay.
Although I have seen some tags lately that will say, will grow as a bush or climber.
Oh.
So be really careful about
yeah.
that, because
okay.
one of the other words that you need to watch is vigorous grower.
Ha.
We like that word because we think, hey, that's great. It's going to bloom this summer, and maybe it will.
Okay.
But it's going to be a big...
Yeah. It's going to eat the house, right?
Exactly. Mortgage the house by the rose.
Yes, I was visiting a client today who was telling me about the... I know it's not roses, it's morning glory. So he planted... he wanted morning glories on the walls that are like kind of perpendicular on the garage, like so on both sides. So he said, oh my goodness. He goes, I only planted about 50 seeds, but it was like the morning glories were going to eat the house. And I was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe he planted 50 seeds. I said, I think 2 or 3 would have been enough. And he goes, yeah, in hindsight, yes. So, but just his exclamation about, I thought it was going to eat the house, you know.
Well, and some roses get so big, we have a community garden nearby, and we bought this rose that we fell in love with the flower. And before I knew a lot about roses, and this thing is humongous. The stalks are bigger than my thumb in width.
Yeah.
And they're covered with this mean, vicious thorns. So
yeah.
We dug it up and put it in a community garden where it's got lots of space.
Okay. So now, would ramblers, can you describe, because I think of all of them, I'm least familiar with ramblers. So would they be meant to kind of like creep on the ground type of thing and creep within other plants?
They grow up and then they branch out.
Oh,
kind of
okay.
like a fountain.
Okay.
Okay, so that their branches are reaching out. And very often the ramblers will have blooms at the ends of the branches, whereas some of the bush roses, they'll grow all over the rose bush.
Okay.
And climbers are different again. Two things to remember about climbers when you plant them, we can talk about planting in a minute, but there are two types of stems, or they're called canes, and there are upright ones, and then there are horizontal ones. They only bloom on the horizontal ones.
Okay.
So when you're making a climber, you want the branches to go as close to 45 degrees or horizontal as possible, because that's where the blooms are. Otherwise, it'll just bloom at the top.
Okay. So you really want to fan them out, like really, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, on a trellis.
On a trellis.
On a wire.
Okay. And by making them, do you mean like tying them to the trellis at that 45? Is that good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Sometimes they're a little reluctant, and then you just kind of ease them into it, and over a few weeks they'll go sideways.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there we go, everyone. We learned one big important tip right there, I think, as far as climbers go. Let's talk a little bit about carpet roses, because I think that's kind of a newer type of rose, don't you think, the last few years?
Yes, and they're spectacular. Mm-hmm. They really do grow like a carpet. And the nice thing about them is you can put them at the front of a border. If you have a flower garden, and they'll stay low. Sometimes they'll shoot straight up, and you can trim those off. But
Okay. They're
really good for keeping unwanted guests out of your garden, like small children and four-legged kinds of things. But they will bloom. Mine have started blooming now, and they'll bloom right until November.
Okay.
They're hardy. Their leaves are glossy. I don't think I've seen any caterpillars or aphids on them. They're very disease resistant and lots of fun. They come in reds and pinks and yellows and whites. And the brand name Oh So Easy makes carpet roses.
Okay.
And they're quite growing. Well, they grow really quickly.
Okay.
But they bloom all summer. Gorgeous.
All summer. Okay. Because I have, that is one that I think I could really see myself using for clients for that exact purpose, right? That they're bordering the front and the fact that they bloom a long time.
Exactly. We plant them as far north as Stony Lake, which is zone 4, wide open on a windy hill.
Okay.
They're fine.
All right. Still full sun, though.
Full sun.
Full sun. Okay. Like all roses pretty much are full sun.
They need 6 to 8 hours of full sun.
Okay.
There are some that will stand a bit of shade, but they won't do as well.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I have tried a couple of carpet roses, white ones. So I don't know if some varieties of colors are better than others. I started with 3, and then I was down to 2, and then it looks like this year only one has come back. But they still haven't thrived for me, so I must be doing something wrong. So that's what. So we'll go right to our next question in the sense of what. So when our clients or our listeners are at the nursery and they are looking for rose bushes, it sounds like the first thing that they should look for is grown in Canada. And is there something else they should look for in those when they're looking at all those pots? I know I was at a nursery just on Sunday, just yesterday, and you see them all laid out and they all look perfect and they all look the same, really, right now because nothing is blooming.
Right.
So how do you go about, you know, making that choice? So what's a good one, quote unquote, a good one when as far as picking a rose bush? So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
You're absolutely right about being grown in Canada. Check your zone, zone 4 and below. No matter what, even if you're zone 5, if you want the rose to actually work really well in your garden, go a zone lower because then it's almost foolproof.
Okay.
Then look at the size that it gets. And even if it looks small in the pot, not going to happen. If it says it's going to be 4 feet by 6 feet, it is. It really will be.
Yes.
So that's the other thing, depend on how much space you have. And then then the next part is planting. But, you know, we're talking about choosing roses mm-hmm. right now. But and then use the one that you fall in love with.
Okay.
It has to be something. Sometimes we pick a rose because it fits into our color scheme.
Mm-hmm,
but
yes.
Sometimes we buy one because we fall in love. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the name. Like they've got such unique names sometimes. So sometimes it's a bit of a name or, like you said, a color.
Mm-hmm.
With perennials, sometimes people say not to buy them with their already in bloom.
I think buying them in bloom is a good thing because you know what the color is.
Okay.
But the hardest thing is, and the experts say this, and I don't always have enough courage to do it, is to cut the bloom off when you plant it.
Yes. Okay.
And man, oh man, that is really tough. But with roses, you can bring them in and put them beside your bed, you know, put them on your desk.
Yeah.
And they'll bloom again because okay. they're forced to bloom. So that the customer comes and says, oh, my gosh, I have to have that.
Right.
And then when you get them home, the rose is so busy being pretty, it doesn't have enough energy sometimes to go to the roots. And
okay.
that's where the important part is.
Yeah. Okay. And that is, for our listeners, that is important with many flowering plants, that it's not you want something that the roots are more important now than the flower, especially when you're first getting it established.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. So we have an email question to answer, and we've got lots more to talk about, but let's take a commercial break, Colleen, and we'll be right back. We're talking roses today with Colleen here on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Sometimes I feel like I am drunk.
Put the special into your special event. With our finger on the pulse of today's event scene, we provide for all your entertainment needs. Amuse and amaze with look-alike performers, illusionists, and interactive entertainment. Fill the air with jazz, dance music, classic rock, Latin, and disco. Thrill your guests with tarot and psychic readings. And treat the kids with children's entertainers, face painting, inflatables, and more. When your reputation is on the stage, let our reputation for excellence earn you a standing ovation. For more information, visit aratoevents.com.
The Red Snapper Cafe in Ajax is your Caribbean family restaurant, specializing in great breakfast and lunch specials and favorite delicious Caribbean dinners. Eat in or take out and be amazed of the authentic Caribbean fare that we have to offer just for you. We also cater for your very special events. From private parties, weddings, anniversaries, and corporate events, the Red Snapper Cafe does it all at very reasonable prices. We are conveniently located at 71 Station Street in Ajax, Ontario. Please call us and ask us about our daily specials at 905-686-8661. That's 905-686-8661. The Red Snapper Cafe and Family Restaurant, where all of our cherished customers are always asking, "Hey, Mama, what's cooking?"
The following program will make you want to grow things, especially roses, and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now in the studio, email us in studio101@gmail.com.
I need your love to shine on through, or it won't be new. Whatever it takes, my love, I'll find it.
And now back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much. And welcome back, everyone, to this episode of Down the Garden Path, where we're talking all about roses with my guest, Colleen Viskoff. Welcome back, Colleen.
Thanks, Joanne.
So I'll start off with, we'll continue what we're talking about, but we do have an email question here for you. So it's a question for Colleen. What is the difference between own root and grafted roses? Thanks. And this is from Demia.
Good question. An own root rose is grown probably and originally from seed, and a few years later it actually becomes a rose plant. A grafted rose is they take a very hardy stem, probably a native like a rugosa stem, and they actually attach another rose to that. The reason they do that is that the grafted rose often doesn't have enough energy or enough vigor to grow on its own. So the actual root of the original plant is what's feeding the graft.
Okay.
So you can sometimes get two different colors. I have a rose tree that's grafted onto a stem, and it has two different roses grafted to the top of it. So when it blooms, one side is pink and one side is burgundy.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Fussy, yeah, a bit fussy, but worth it.
Okay. And how do you winter that? I know we're gonna talk about that later, but while we're talking about it,
two things about rose tree, but I do want to talk about planting a grafted because that's a super question. The rose tree that is grafted. There's something called the Minnesota tip, and if you want to see something interesting, look it up on the internet. But you dig a trench behind the rose, the length of the tree, and you bury it all winter. But there is a new exciting rose tree that is part of the Canadian grown. It's grown by Jay Baker in Niagara.
Okay.
And it's named after Tom Thompson's painting called Campfire.
Oh.
And it is the most beautiful, and you can leave it up all winter, and you don't have to burlap it, you don't have to do anything. It's the foolproof rose tree, and you should look at it. It's absolutely fabulous.
Okay. Now, does Campfire only come as a rose tree?
Sorry?
Is it only available? Because I know my friend Nancy, who's also a landscape designer, she swears by the Campfire roses. But I didn't know it was a rose tree. So is it available in another variety? Or?
Yes, it's available in bushes.
Okay.
And they're smaller than a lot of roses. They're not quite carpet roses.
Okay.
They're what they call landscape roses because they're a little bit smaller. You can put them at the front of the bed as well.
Okay.
And they're gorgeous. They vary in shade from yellow to pink to orange. They're stunning in a garden.
Excellent. But it comes as a tree.
Yes,
how wonderful.
Does.
Oh, my goodness. That is great news. Oh, my goodness. Well, Demia says thank you very much. So
welcome.
Excellent. So if we've picked the right, if we're at the nursery and we picked something healthy, we've picked the size that we're looking for and the type of rose, what should we do now that when we get home? What should we do to plant the rose?
You can buy roses in a bag at places, at some of the big box stores.
Okay.
They come, they look like a bunch of sticks sticking out of the top, and they're in a bag with a picture on it. And when you open the bag, those are called bare root.
Okay.
When you open the bag, it's the roots are encased in sawdust. You take that sawdust off, and you soak the root, like the whole thing, overnight.
Okay.
And then before you plant, dig your hole bigger than the base of the rose. And the key here, two things. One is to mix compost with the soil you took out of the hole. Don't put all new soil in there.
Okay.
Because the rose will go, oh, I don't have to go looking for nutrients. You just gave them to me. Mm. The roots will stay in that hole.
Okay.
You want them to spread out.
Yep.
And the other thing is to make sure that when you plant that bare root rose, that there's no space under that root that water can get into and freeze in the winter.
Oh, okay.
That will kill it. That'll kill it instantly. The other thing is to make sure if it is a graft that it's buried, even the bud union, you know, the bud union is where all of the branches come together on the stem before it hits the roots. And you need to bury that at least 3 to 4 inches below the surface of the soil.
Okay, bury that.
That graft unit is really delicate.
Okay.
And it won't stand. So many times when I go to someone's garden, they say, what's wrong with my rose?
Mm-hmm.
It's above the ground.
Okay.
And it freezes in the winter, and it can't survive.
Okay. And I think that's someplace that people contradict, right? Because I think I've been told to keep it up in the past, or I've read to keep it up. So it makes more sense to me that you would bury that.
In Canada, mm-hmm. in our winters, it has to be below. A lot of the roses that you see where it says to keep it above, they're probably from the state of California.
Yeah,
and they don't have to do that. They don't have the severity of the freeze. It's a freeze thaw.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Freeze thaw.
It's not the cold temperatures. It's the freeze and thaw.
No,
for sure.
We'd love it if they'd stay cold and covered with snow.
Yeah.
And then the spring comes. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, people, I mean, I'm not a fan, but this is what, you know, say a lot of people do is those lovely styrofoam cones that then they put, you know, so they leave their they leave the graft above ground, but they're like, oh, but that's okay. I'm going to pile soil and either wrap, you know, soil or mulch or leaves and wrap it around my the base and then put those cones over, which who loves looking at those cones all fall and winter and spring, right?
Right.
But so we don't need those, right?
No, you don't. And this, what you're doing is you're making that rose think it doesn't have to work.
Mm.
And you want your rose to work for you. And if you have 85 roses, you're going to have 85 cones.
Yeah.
Like a cone. If it's buried deeply enough.
Yes.
And it's in the fall, after the first frost, yes, you hill it up with compost.
Okay.
And cover your garden with leaves, and you're good to go. But if you buy one that's made, it's grown in Canada, you got a better start.
Yes, for sure. And even for me, I'm sorry, even one of those styrofoam cones is one too many.
I'm with you.
You know, I have the same opinion about burlap. You know, why put an evergreen in your garden and then wrap it, you know, you put it in, or I design it to go in so you'd have winter interest, and then we're going to wrap it in burlap? Like, seriously. So I guess I'm not good for all those stores that are selling all those products, but.
Well, I think they sell them because we buy evergreens that are grown out west, or they're grown somewhere outside of Canada, or not outside of Ontario, and they won't stand.
Mm-hmm.
So if we coddle them, they're going to expect it. I mean, you know, once you spoil it.
Yeah.
But I just like to go back to planting.
Sure.
Potted roses.
Okay, potted roses.
When you take a rose out of its pot, make sure that you keep most of the soil with it.
Okay.
Except, you know how sometimes you bring one out and it's the roots are all thick and they're all bound all the way around and it's there's no way any soil would fall off?
Yes.
Take a really sharp knife and hack down the sides of it all the way around. I know you think that, it's, oh my gosh, that's cruel.
Mm-hmm.
The only way those roots are going to come out and they'll go, oh my goodness, I guess I better grow some new roots.
Okay.
So that's what you want. If it's pot bound, you have to slit those roots.
Okay. And we don't keep the fiber pots. A lot of them are sold in those fiber pots, but we take them out of those, right?
You take them out because the roots that actually go into the soil to get the nutrients are like hairs.
Mm.
And if you could imagine a hair trying to grow through one of those pots,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. It's just going to circle around and it will smother it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. For anything, yeah.
Like a tree, planting a tree in a ball of burlap. I'm sorry, really?
Yeah.
That's another story.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, so we keep most of the soil. We cut, if it's pot bound, we cut it.
Yep.
Do we need to put, now if it's the potted roses, do we also need to add some compost?
I always put compost in the bottom of soil, and the soil that I dig out from the pole that I'm going to plant the rose in, I mix it with compost.
Okay.
Because you don't want to put brand new soil, and especially if your house is less than, 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
when you dig down, you're going to find all kinds of things that have nothing to do with soil.
Yeah.
So you want to amend the soil, but you don't want to completely change it, because then you're giving that rose a totally foreign environment, and it's already struggling. Make sure that, you fill the hole with water, let it drain, mix your compost in your soil, plant it, and you're going to probably have to water every 3 days for mm-hmm. the first week.
Okay.
And then a really good watering, and always at the root.
Okay.
Put your hose right down at the root and count to 10.
Okay.
Hard to do when you
yes.
know you're in a hurry and you're on your way to work
yeah.
or whatever.
But a sprinkler is not the way to do it.
No, it just creates mildew on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to do that, do it in the early morning. But it's better to hand water, because then you get a chance to look at your rose and see if there are any little foreign invaders
okay.
or if it's got a problem or a broken branch. So it's a good time to, sort of communicate with your rose, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Because, that is a common thing for many gardeners, for all, not just their roses, right? They just think watering them with, it's more convenient to kind of put the sprinkler on. But really, if it saves you a bit of time, it does create other problems. So in the end, it's really not worth it.
You really, once they're established, you really only need to give them that watering once a week.
Mm, okay.
So Sunday morning, cup of coffee, water each rose down by the root. And for those people who have a sprinkler system, putting it on for 10 minutes every, two or three times a day doesn't work. It's not enough.
Right.
All it does is puts water on the surface, and the roots are going, hey, there's water up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grow up.
Up.
The roots grow up and they scorch and they mm-hmm. die. So it doesn't work.
Okay.
And we have it on for an hour.
Oh, okay. And just so it gets a deep watering. And that often goes for the lawn, too. A lot of our plants, we kind of do the quick thing, doesn't really work because it doesn't encourage
exactly.
deep roots. So we have another question for you, Colleen, coming through email from Jake. And he's asking if viruses spread can viruses spread from one of my rose bushes to another?
A virus on a rose.
Mm-hmm. Mm. He hasn't told us what, Jake, if you're listening, what kind of rose bush do you have and what do you mean by virus? But if one is, let's say, sick or coming down, quote unquote, with something, is it a worry that it could spread to something else, to the other ones?
I took a course on what plants know, and it was really fascinating because they have proven that there is a chemical reaction when a plant has some sort of a disease or some sort of an insect. Any neighboring plant, somehow either the one that's ill, to use a better word, sends off some sort of a chemical reaction
mm-hmm.
that the other one actually develops more of an immunization.
Okay.
However, if the plants are touching,
mm-hmm.
it's just like some viruses with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's done by human contact. So it's important to know what the virus is and how it spreads. There are, do you remember when impatiens, when that mm-hmm. virus hit the impatiens?
Yeah.
That virus, they say, stays in the soil for about 3 years.
Yeah.
So if you continue to plant something in that same spot, it's going to get the same virus.
Right,
so
right.
If your rose is sick or has some sort of a virus, you need to know what it is. You can't plant another rose in that spot for a while.
Right.
You need to sort of dig out the soil and amend it.
Okay. Okay. If you've got many roses, then you probably should keep an eye and so that you can catch it, right? And get it out before it does start to affect the other roses.
Yeah, I would just pull it right out
okay.
and do not put it in the compost.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a plastic bag and leave it in the sun for a couple of days so that it actually dies.
Okay.
In the plastic bag.
Okay.
And then it can go into the garbage.
Oh, okay. That's interesting, but that's a good way, yeah. It's a good way many of us kill really healthy plants is when we leave them in the bag and forget to plant them, right?
Oh, I've done that too.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm so sad that we have to take another commercial break, Colleen, because we have so much to cover. Oh, my goodness. So thank you for everyone who's listening to us here talk about roses on Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. We will be right back.
Back in 95, whose heart ran out of summers, but before he died, I asked him, wait, what's the sense in life? Come over me. Come over me.
Faith, family, friends. At Armstrong Funeral Home, we are here to honor those elements of your life that you cherish the most. Faith, family, and friends. Armstrong Funeral Home, serving the Oshawa community since 1930. Centrally located at 124 King Street East in Oshawa. Call 905-433-4711 or visit us online at armstrongfuneralhome.net. Contact us to discuss your funeral arrangements, church celebration, cremation, or burial. Armstrong Funeral Home, remembering the journey.
Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the Comic Doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the Comic Doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission agent. Let us take the guesswork out of submitting your comics to the CGC for grading. Make an appointment with the Comic Doctor today. Check us out online at thecomicdoctor.com.
Now just cause the world's come to an end, that's no cause to lose my mind. So the girl went south on me, left my skivvies in a bind.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email right now in studio 101 at gmail.com. And now back to your host, Joanne Shaw.
Welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path, all about roses tonight with my guest, Colleen Viskoff. Well, Colleen Jake got back to me, and he said rosette disease. Does that sound familiar?
Vaguely familiar. I'm no expert on diseases, but I think what I would suggest is that he gets rid of the rose.
Okay.
And check really carefully about the roses around it. And if they were planted close together, you might have to sacrifice more than just the one.
Okay.
And I would also remove some of the soil that's there,
mm-hmm.
and mix it with really good compost and you know, plant a perennial or plant some annuals in it for a while until it regenerates.
Okay. Great advice. Well, I hope that helps, Jake. We were talking about planting before the break, and you mentioned compost. Is there anything else that we, is there like a transplant fertilizer or anything we need to add to the water that will help our roses, or is that too much of a good thing, too much of a good thing?
Two things. There are several different ways of thinking about it. There are lots of experts who recommend fertilizing in the spring and perhaps the beginning of August, but no later than that.
Okay.
You could do that, but if you have really good compost and your soil is really healthy, I would let the rose take a chance and stay without fertilizing. One of the things that happens with fertilizer is the rose gets really used to it, and it gets lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, wow, this is great. Every once a week, I'm getting a dose of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to push my roots anywhere to find it myself. So it doesn't develop into a healthy, it'll look healthy and it'll bloom and all the rest of it. But what you want to do is force the force the roots to get its own nutrients. So
okay.
Compost is best. I don't know about you, but sometimes I see a rose on sale and I think, I can get this rose to grow. Mm-hmm. And I will give it some fertilizer in the beginning.
Mm.
But my goal is to not fertilize my garden, but to keep it amended with soil.
Okay.
One fun thing or neat thing is save your coffee grounds.
Okay.
And put them around your roses. Lots of nitrogen, and it goes right to the roots.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip.
So I saved mine all winter, and we have a Starbucks here, mm-hmm. and I'm sure other coffee shops would do it for you, but
yeah.
they save them in bag bags, and they give it away free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to give your roses a boost.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's they're well known for that, for giving
yeah.
away their coffee grounds. So... that is, especially with everybody going to those pods now of Tassimo and right, Nespresso pods. We you have to open up those little cups and put, you know, shake out a little bit of coffee grounds. So, so you just head to Starbucks and get some of theirs. So,
exactly.
So that is good. And that does make sense. I know myself, I find, you know, and my clients, you know, you were probably like me, we, as much as we love to garden, we are with our clients and we're spending time in other people's gardens. So it's harder to spend time, you know, babying your own garden. So I find my plants have to toughen up a bit and I don't do a lot of fertilizing. I was, when I was trying to grow the endless summer hydrangeas, I was, I was fertilizing the heck out of them and all I was, you know, it didn't help anything. So I went to the other extreme and just dug them up, right? Said, okay.
Well, it's one of those things, you shovel prune, you know,
yeah.
you either grow or you're out.
Yes.
And,
shovel prune. That's a good one. That I'm kind of bad for that.
Well, there are so many beautiful plants and so many beautiful mm-hmm. roses that if one isn't doing well,
yeah.
you know, let it die.
Okay.
And give another rose a chance.
Yes.
Because maybe its time is come. You
okay.
know?
All right. And now as far as distance, so if I wanted to, say, 3 carpet roses on the border of my garden, how far should I plant those? Like, because you don't want them touching or?
Mine are touching. They're
okay.
all interwoven.
Mm.
Just because they were for a client who decided she didn't want them, and I didn't know what to do with them, so I planted them.
And yep, done that. Yep.
They are amazing, and they're all, you know, interplanted. So it depends on the purpose you want it for. If you
okay.
want, you know, if you just want one or two, give them some space. But if you want to make a little hedge, they make a beautiful hedge.
Ah. I have a
one
thing
of the
for
favorites,
hedges. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You asked about it. Oh, so easy cherry pie.
Oh,
is red, blooms all summer. You can either get them so that they're low, or the ones that I just got today are about 2.5 feet tall and covered with buds. I bet you there's 100 buds on each bush.
Really?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
Oh my
I'm
goodness!
So excited.
Oh, that's yep. wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to have to go looking because I'm a thing for hedges, actually. I have yew hedges and hydrangea
yep.
hedges and stuff. So hey,
if you want a hedge that you can just let it go and you have lots and lots of space, plant it with the old-fashioned rugosa roses. They're mm-hmm. they're the ones that grow along the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You see them on the East Coast a lot,
mm-hmm.
Growing right in the sand dunes. You don't really grow them just for their flower. They're not flowers you pick, but they make a fabulous privacy hedge.
Okay.
Because nobody can get through.
Yes, nobody can get through. Oh, my goodness. So they don't need fertilizing. How about pruning? Because I know when I think of pruning, I think of the hybrid teas, the high-maintenance ones that we talked about. But do the other Oh So Easy and other type of carpet and shrub roses need pruning throughout the season?
They need what I call grooming.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of like getting a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see you've got a beautiful shape and all of a sudden you got one sticking up and you think, hey, that doesn't fit into my garden. You can snip it off.
Okay.
Anything that's dead. You know how you always read that you should always keep the center clear?
Mm-hmm.
The roses that are bred now are disease resistant, so you don't need to keep the center clear for airflow. That was to keep disease from developing in the middle of the bush.
Mm-hmm.
So don't have to be too concerned about that. prune off branches that are broken or crossing and rubbing on another.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't prune anything until the spring.
Okay.
Some of my roses are so tall that we get a bit of a west wind.
Uh-huh.
I cut off one of the long branches that I think might break in the wind.
Okay.
But other than that, I leave all the pruning until the spring because all of that green has to go back to the root. That's where the nutrients are. And if you prune it back in the fall, because we like to have our gardens all clean.
Yes, we do. and with styrofoam cones on them, but really.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to tell everybody there for our listeners is Colleen and I both think you don't need to tidy up your garden in the fall like you think you do. And you do not need to cut everything back, correct?
No. And the thing is, if you cut everything back, where are the little birds going to get away from the cold and, you know, leave your cone flowers because they get the seeds, little chickadees eat the seeds. And even the rose hips, there are birds that will peck on the rose hips during the winter. And I just think that it's really healthy for the rose. I know sometimes people just cut them back and never cut your climber to the ground every year.
Okay.
Because it has to start all over again.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to rejuvenate an old one,
yeah.
But never, you know, I've learned the hard way. Don't cut it back to the ground or it just won't flower that following year or two.
Okay. Now, I have a personal question for you here regarding a climber. So we are doing a big landscape project mid-July. Date is important. Mid-July, homeowner has a wonderful climbing rose right by her front door that, you know, kindly attacks everyone as they come. And in the design, she wanted, so because right now there's a garden, you know, against that garage wall. Well, we're removing that garden. So she wants to know if we can transplant that rose bush to another spot. But it is like the canes, you know, the needles and the thorns on that. But I said we would try and I would, you know, ask around about it. So since I have you here, what do you think? Is it something we should try?
If you're going to do that and she's not having any event that it needs to be blooming, you will have to cut it back.
Okay.
It's not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I would dig around the root a month before and give it a chance so that you've, you know, cut off some of the main root.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can transplant it if it's an old, healthy one and it's native. It's probably going to be okay, but it's going to take a couple of years to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still iffy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if she wants it moved.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't want it. Well, really, we don't want it in that same spot.
Right.
Because, you know, those three, you know, those little gardens next to the garage, you know, that's the only thing that she can get to grow there. We're going to do away with that and kind of take the interlocking right to the garage. And I'm nervous that there isn't quite as much sun, hot sun in the backyard to find another sunny spot. But I thought, you know, it's worth trying because the good thing is that they should be able to actually machine dig it out, which at least they'll get all of the roots, right?
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So the contractor doesn't know that yet, though, so that he's going to haven't broken that to him that, you know, part of the job is to scoop out this mature climbing rose that's unbelievably sharp.
The other thing you can do is cut it back to about 5 feet high, and you know the Saran that you the furniture movers.
Okay, yep.
Wrap it. Get two people and wrap it as snugly as you can, and it makes moving it a cinch. Well, not a cinch, but so much easier because you're not getting any prickly. But you could then leave at least 5 feet on the canes. And the more you can leave on the canes, the healthier it's going to be.
Okay. All right. Well, that is worth a shot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well,
it's
thank
an
you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I know, many of our listeners, too, you know, it's often a question, right, that they want, maybe they bought a new house and there's a rose bush and they want it moved or relocated, or they want to take their rose bush, their special rose bush, with them to their new home. So I know it's often a question I get from clients as to how, you know, how, I mean, roses, peonies, those things tend to be very sentimental sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we are running out of time. I think we really need a second episode. So I'm going to have to put you on the spot and say, can we book a second episode so we can have a part two on roses? So you can think about that.
It might be fun to have people ask questions because it's great for, we could always research them and before.
Yes.
You know, if there are things that we don't know about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was great to have a couple today so far. So that is good. But so in wrapping up, do you have a favorite rose, or do you have a parting tip for us that you really want us to take away?
I want you to buy roses and fill your gardens with them. But one of the roses that is so delightful is called Daybreaker.
Okay.
And it's also from, I think it's B-A-K-K-E-R. I think Baker is in Niagara. And so it's Canadian grown. It has glossy dark leaves. It's supposed to be about 4 feet tall, blooms all summer, and it has the most divine fragrance.
Ooh.
It varies from cream to yellow to a deep peach. And the roses look like tea roses, but it's hardy to zone 4.
Wow.
Will not let you down. It's gorgeous.
Excellent.
So if you don't have a rose, that's one to start with.
Okay. And disease resistant, they all are. They're all like all the ones we've talked about tonight are disease resistant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's something that many people don't realize, that their breeding has changed and that they are more disease resistant because of the chemicals. Like, you know, I think there was that period of time where, you know, the only way you could grow a rose is get that white dust, the white, you know, remember that, all those chemicals, which we all know have been banned. So we don't have the chemicals anymore. And I'm guilty of that, in that I stopped planting roses because of that. And
I hope you plant some.
I do. I was looking at them yesterday when I was buying some other things, and I thought, no, I'm going to wait. And wait for your advice. And I'm really intrigued by your, what was the one you said, cherry pie. Yes. Because
so easy, cherry pie.
Excellent.
Yep.
So I think that is going to be a really good one for me, because I don't, you know, that's something people often ask me for in the garden, is red flowers, red perennials, red shrubs. And there's not a lot, right?
No.
And most of the perennials that are red are fairly short lived. So,
exactly.
And I'm not a huge annual fan, and I don't design with those. So to be able to add roses and red roses to the garden, I think would really make me happy and make a lot of my clients happy. And I like testing things out myself before I do it for others. So, yeah.
Well, that's great.
So thank you very much, so much, Colleen. I think this information has been wonderful. And you think about a part two. I won't put you on the spot right now, but this has been a lot of fun. And we can tell there's a lot of people listening. And like you said, if you have more questions for us, then please email them to me at joanne@downtoearth.ca. And then we can follow her in studio 101@gmail.com. And we can see about getting your questions answered.
Great.
So thank you.
That would be great.
Wonderful. Well, I wanted to thank you very much, Colleen,
for
joining
for
us.
Asking.
Okay. And we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Okay. Thank bye-bye. You. Well, there you have it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed. Those were a lot of that's the reason why I wanted to do the show, right, Gary? So down to earth, practical advice for roses.
You know, we know it'd be great is to get her in the studio. That way, instead of on the phone, you can take telephone calls,
right? Yes. So we'll have to see if she's ever going to drive by the area. But she's out
we'll
in Peterborough. But that would be wonderful as well to be able to answer questions over the phone. So thank you very much for those that did email in your questions. And I think it is a great topic. And I know I have lots of questions, as you could hear, myself. So and then as much as I know and much as I want to pass on to my clients and you, the listeners. So thank you very much for being with us tonight on Down the Garden Path, and the last Monday in May. So we'll see you next month, next week in June. Thank you for listening here on Reality Radio 101.
You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw.
right here on Reality Radio 101.